Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
In your face, Chicago sports talk with great opinions, guests, and fun.
Nope.
Afternoons on the Score.
We'll be looking for leaders, both in the general manager and the head coach. Our conversations with Bill Pohl. In fact, he just wrote a book, Super Bowl Blueprints, where he talks about what it takes to get to and win the Super Bowl. And he said he was even struck by great teams have coaches that the players respect. They don't have to like them. They don't have to love them, but they respect them. So the primary quality we'll be looking for in both the general manager and the head coach is leadership.
Brian Flores just got fired as the Dolphins head coach.
Oh, wow. Man, things are happening fast, man. While I'm sitting here talking, I'm a big fan of Brian Flores.
If you want somebody who's going to be demanding on the players, demanding of the organization, raise the level of excellence in the organization, then you should consider Brian. He's a good human being. He's a smart coach. He's not going to blink when adversity hits. He was, 1-6 as the season started, 1-7. He's going to continue to do. Is he going to be challenging on everybody in the organization? Yes. But as I've often said, the NFL is not the Dave Clark Five.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
We're going to talk to Adam Hogue in 15 minutes. I've been wanting to play this for a couple of days. Brian Flores, you guys know, shocked me when he became available. I have been a fan of Brian Flores for a few years. The guy covered spreads with the Miami Dolphins. He overachieved. He coached up the talent around him. I just knocked over my ring light, and I don't think it shattered, but we'll deal with that in the next
commercial. Go ahead and check real quick.
Yeah, Connor, while you're checking for that, Connor, don't do something funny with that, like make a GIF or a short video out of Danny's reaction. Just don't do it. It's not what we do around here, okay?
Yeah.
Just be classy about this whole thing.
Yeah, be a good teammate, Connor. No, like, zoomed-in screenshots of his face when it knocked over. Nothing like that. No clipping it, guys.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Have some respect. Like, Danny's working solo today. He's working it again. Like, he's got a venereal disease right now.
It's just not what I have. Not a venereal.
There's just there's so much that you're working against. The last thing we want to do is
out there about COVID.
Isn't don't you have a venereal disease?
I don't think so. I think I just have a disease.
Hey Siri, how do you spell venereal?
I miss you guys, but yeah, that light really just flew off the back of this table. Okay, well, what up, Twitch?
He didn't hear any of that, Shane. Don't worry. I heard it, though. And some of the listeners did, like all of them.
What'd you guys say?
He had Siri spelling venereal.
Oh, good. Yeah, I didn't hear it.
It was really good radio.
Yeah, I believe it.
Oh, venereal, relating to sexual desire or sexual intercourse. Did you get COVID having sex?
I don't think so. My wife doesn't have COVID, okay. So yeah.
All right. We'll
so
rule
what are you
that
saying,
out.
Man?
I'm saying I'd be in real trouble if I did.
We'll rule that out.
Yeah, we'll rule that. Thank you.
Danny does not have a venereal disease.
A lot of bad info out there. Again, you jerks. Sorry, Tanny, for making that plural. Well, doesn't even matter. Is there shattered glass on my floor? I honestly can't even see it.
Isn't the ring light plastic?
But the light bulbs inside of it, like the top of the plastic part came out. And like some of the bulbs look off.
I don't think bulbs are made with glass anymore, are they?
Oh, they definitely are.
Oh, okay.
Owen threw a light bulb on the ground the other day and it shattered into glass.
It sucks.
What's he doing? Why is he throwing light bulbs around?
Because we have a drawer that clearly we should have one of those child locks on it.
Oh, the light bulb drawer.
Oh, you guys skipped the whole child lock process, didn't you?
Well, we did it where like the chemicals are under the sink, but we didn't do it in every possible drawer.
And here I am thinking that Owen had a healthy respect for light bulbs.
Yeah.
I guess not.
No, just the water. Just the water.
Real quick, your birthday post of Owen, did I see that you guys got him a mini kitchen?
Yeah.
Did he immediately become a better cook than you?
Yeah, instantly. And Shane, no big deal, but I assembled that thing.
Why didn't you make that content? We did not hear about that. About you having to put together a kitchen.
Yeah,
it's not very involved, I assure you.
It took a while, Tanny, actually.
Well, that has nothing to do with whether or not it's involved or not with you.
What do you mean? I did the whole thing. I assembled the entire thing, as evidenced by the faucet is definitely loose, and the ice maker still doesn't work because I lost the screws. But, yeah, that kitchen is 95% completed, and I assembled it, 100% me, because I did it while I had COVID during the games on Saturday.
Did you just say that your kid's kitchen set, it's got an ice maker in it? Is that what you
said?
But
it's not like a real one. It's just like the plastic. Like it
oh,
looks
okay.
like
I was going to say, Father.
Yeah, it doesn't actually make ice. It's all a fake kitchen. It's not a real stove either, but like the whole thing is fake. But the insert that is supposed to go in that where the refrigerator to mimic an ice maker, I couldn't figure it out. So I need to get new screws. That's the truth. But anyway, I did it all on Saturday, Shane. I did it in one day. Now, it took 5 hours across multiple NFL games to assemble that thing. But yeah, did it all by myself. Aren't you proud of me?
That took 5 hours?
5 hours. 5 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I was cocky. Like I was like, all right, the birthday is Monday, and in theory we were gonna have people over on Sunday, but that obviously didn't happen because of the vid. But I was just like, I'm gonna because I was so successful with the train table and I started that 9 days ahead of time. I was like, I only need to give myself 2 full days to assemble this kitchen, and I did it in 5 hours.
I put together a bar cart, an outdoor heater, and 3 shelves in my bathroom wall on Saturday in an hour and a half.
That sounds about right to me. Like you're at least 4 times the man I am, if not 10.
Can't sue you for slander.
So,
but we think you're doing a very good job.
Yeah, I'm doing my absolute best to be an adult and a parent while still smoking bowls and watching NFL games. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of things happening as I'm assembling this thing. You know, you know how many pages the instructions were for this kid's kitchen?
20, maybe?
Yeah, with 38 steps. And they don't do it. It's not words. The instructions are not words. I'm very good with reading comprehension. These are all pictures. It's like, okay, this number of screws and this piece and that thing, and you gotta. And it says don't use a drill, use a screwdriver.
It's because the wood is cheap, like wood for kids. If you use a drill, you're gonna split everything.
Well, I used a drill and I split one thing.
Shane, I'm sure you've seen the IKEA instructions on anything. How on the back of it, it's got the happy face guy who did it the right way, and then the guy with the X over him, boo, did it the wrong way.
Exactly.
That's basically Danny.
So
it's got the big X over him.
Yeah,
five hours, which is 300 minutes, 38 steps.
Yeah,
so roughly 8 minutes per step. 8 minutes per step.
Yeah, man, it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. It does not come naturally to all of us.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you.
We're just glad you're working through it and not using your TaskRabbit.
I thought about it. But, you know, we've got a second child on the way,
And so there's a, we got to assemble a new crib and, you know, some more furniture for the, for that room. And I don't think you're available. So I think Spiegs' TaskRabbit gift certificate, which was a lovely holiday present, is going to go to assembling my second child's crib and shelf.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
No, you can just take it to a fire station or a police station. They'll do it for you.
The baby.
Right. Just, yeah. I think I might only be able to have one kid at a time. So it's been a good run with Owen. And then the new kid comes in and we start the whole process over again. I don't know, man. I'm not trading him for a franchise quarterback, I don't think. But a franchise quarterback and a coach? Think about it. So, yeah, I don't know.
You want to talk about football here, right?
Well, we're going to talk to Adam Hogue in a few minutes. You were very impressed with the kitchen, it seemed
we're
like.
We're never going to get to this Brian Flores discussion, no, ever.
We pushed it for 4 hours yesterday.
I know. I got good stuff on it, too. But now it's too late. Because of your
stupid ring light.
That's true. It's slippery over there. All right, well, let's hear the clip, and because it can help inform our conversation with Adam Hogue. This is Charles Robinson, national NFL reporter, on the Michael Smith show, talking about the Bears' interest in Flores and vice versa.
Flores, look, Chicago, I think the thing about Flores, Chicago is very, very smitten with Brian Flores. The key, though, with Brian Flores, there's two keys here. Number one, for Chicago to reel him in, they have to talk to Flores and go, okay, the general manager hire is going to be someone you're comfortable with and you want to be connected with. And it's also somebody who's going to be comfortable letting you take the lead in the organization, i.e. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Okay. Very similar type of setup where it would be a very much coach-driven organization first, with a GM being, you know, not on the second tier, but just holding back a little bit behind the head coach. So that's got to be resolved. And then I think it is Chicago resolving whether or not Flores believes in Justin Fields. Because from what I understand, wherever Brian Flores goes, he wants to have an upper echelon quarterback. Not a top 15 quarterback, not a top 10 quarterback, but someone who could potentially factor in the top 5 or 6 moving forward, you know, as he continues his head coaching career, whenever that ultimately happens, whether it's this season or next season.
I think there's so much interesting in there. First of all, Brian Flores, if he wants a top 5 upper echelon quarterback, I mean, they all do. So that's like, good luck. I hope he chooses here because I think he's a very, very good coach and the best coach currently available on the market, assuming Jim Harbaugh is not on the market. But if he not going to take a job until he gets a top 5 or 6 coach or a top 5 or 6 quarterback, I have no idea what his plan is, because teams that have top 5 or 6 quarterbacks do not have head coaching vacancies. So I just don't know how he's going to be able to figure that part of it out. It doesn't offend my football sensibilities at all to let Brian Flores have input into who his general manager would be. And it seems like I am alone on an island on that one. You're like, the only people who deserve that are Bill Belichick and Andy Reid. Why? The coach matters more than the GM. The whole point is for that working relationship to exist and be a working relationship. So as long as the GM, once they get hired, has say over the personnel, and will be evaluated independently, where they could fire the coach going forward, it doesn't strike me as a problem. And you might say, well, that's not realistic. If Brian Flores has input in who it's going to be, then he will always have more power over that GM. Only if you allow the power dynamic to be that way. George McCaskey will still be the boss of both of them. And you need the coach to be able to work with the general manager, and Brian Flores wasn't able to work with his last general manager, so it would seem reasonable, if you can get Brian Flores, to bring in a general manager that he can work with. I feel like that is fairly sound and consistent logic, and Brian Flores was not supposed to be available. He won 19 games in 2 years with the Dolphins. with no quarterback on his roster. What could he do with a good quarterback? And we don't know if we have a good quarterback here. We hope we have a good quarterback here. I think we have a good quarterback here, but we don't know if we have one here. So 19 wins with a bad roster and a bad quarterback situation, I'll roll the dice on him having a good idea as to who he thinks should be the general manager of the Bears and what he thinks he can get out of Justin Fields. That feels reasonable to me. We'll ask Adam Hoge if he agrees. Next on The Score.
Adam Hoge or Hog? Excuse me. I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
And there's so many others on here. Our own Adam Hoge says, just found out.
Gary Meyer will join us at 4 o'clock to remember Les Grobstein. By the way, his funeral services will be streamed tomorrow at 10 a.m. We will share the link from our social media accounts. Shane, can you put that out right now? I don't remember what the link is off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's ChicagoJewishFunerals.com.
ChicagoJewishFunerals.com. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. Is the service for Les Grobstein. But joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is the aforementioned Adam Hoge. Of course, Adam Hoge, Bears insider, with us on The Score. What's up, Adam?
What's up, Danny? You know what the crazy thing about that clip from Les is? It was whatever he was reading of my tweet was in reaction to somebody who had passed away. So it was me finding out that somebody had just passed away. And so when I woke up like everybody else the other day with the terrible news that Les had passed away, like that's the first I was thinking about what Les's reaction would be to me finding out about Les dying. That's all ridiculous. I could think about. And it actually, in a weird way, put a smile on my face, despite the fact it was awful news to find out.
Yeah, I think we all are obviously very, very sad about it, but it's hard to think about Les and not smile.
Yes.
So that's an awesome thing that you have that personal memory. That's actually beautiful. I was talking about before you came on the idea of hiring a coach before a general manager. I use Brian Flores as an example, a very qualified coach who was not able to get along with his previous general manager, who was not expected to be on this job market. It doesn't strike me as ridiculous at all to hire Brian Flores and let him have some input into who his general manager would be. But that seems to be a minority opinion right now. If you disagree with me, can you tell me why I'm wrong?
I actually don't disagree with you. And I think it depends on who the coach is that you would potentially be hiring first. And I do think that given what apparently happened with Brian Flores in Miami, that you better be, that's the guy you're hiring, you better be putting him with somebody who you know he can work with and they can operate together. But let's actually, zoom out even more. It's just my opinion. I think the head coach hire is way more important than the GM hire.
I agree.
And I feel like I'm in the minority on that. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you can't hire one before the other, but regardless of what the order is, I think the head coach is more important. And the reason is because the head coach is the guy who really sets the culture. He's the guy who's addressing the players every day. He's the guy that's determining how grueling practices are or how happy the players are on a daily basis. It's not the GM who's interacting with these players on a daily basis. So, everything that happens on game day, yes, the talent matters. And yes, the personnel decisions matter. But once the game starts, once the whistle's blown, I mean, it is the head coach running the show. And that's the guy who's putting the game plan in every week. So, yes, you better get both of these hires right. But I believe the head coach is actually the most important of the two. And I have no problem whatsoever with the way the Bears have been going about this of trying to do these interviews simultaneously.
Yeah, I agree. I think the coach is more important than the GM for all the reasons that you said. The only devil's advocate point that I keep thinking about is because they're asking their GM to do everything and be president of football operations without even calling it that,
yeah.
Once you hire that person, could that person then fire the coach because they should be able to? And I would think the answer is yes, even if they might be a little bit more beholden to that coach because the coach brought them in. But like, as long as they hire a coach and then the coach has say on the GM and then the GM ultimately has final say on the roster and could fire the coach if need be, I wouldn't have any problem. To me, we're just talking about sequencing at that point.
Right. And look, couple things I think everyone needs to keep in mind here. Okay, one is this whole process, you're cross-referencing lists. Okay, so every interview that's happened, it's who do you know, if you're interviewing a GM, what are the guys that you would look to hire as a head coach? If you're a head coach, who would you want to work with as a GM? And who are the coordinators that you would want to hire right away? And how do those mix with maybe coordinators that the GMs are talking about? So you're just trying to match this puzzle in the best way that it all meshes together. And that's why I think it's okay to be doing this all at the same time. Another point I want to bring up, because we learned this through George McCaskey, but I had already known that something was going on and actually reported a few weeks ago that the Bears had already started doing their homework on general manager candidates. One thing I didn't know at that point was really specifically who was the one doing the homework, and it turns out it was Bill Polian, right? So George lets it out that Bill Polian's actually been working for the Bears for a while now, and he's been working behind the scenes to come together with this list. And so the point of that is there's already favorites going into this, and there's already an idea of who knows who and who can work with who. And sure, you might all of a sudden find out Brian Flores is available, and you didn't know that was going to be the case. But the point here being that they already know at this point who can work with who. And if they feel strongly that one of the head coaching candidates is 100% the guy that they have to get, and they feel like he's going to be the culture builder, well, then they know in hiring that guy who on their GM list could potentially work with that guy. And I think that it's all – from that sense, it's all going to work out. The bigger problem – down the line will be the results, which, as we've seen from the Bears, always tend to be the wrong results eventually.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I was kind of making fun of it earlier, but at least with the coaches, I know what I can look for. I can look for the team's record. I can look for, okay, Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator, 4 years, Colts, top 10 rush defense, top 10 takeaways. Like, I can go through it. With these GM candidates, I find it to be damn near impossible for me to parse, well, he had a say in this draft pick. He helped with this cap situation. He was against this trade. Like, everyone liked Ryan Pace. I feel like with the GM hire here, unless it is someone who has absolutely done the job before, like a Rick Smith, we are going to be taking that hire on a complete leap of faith based on whatever the Bears tell us about that person. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And that's part of my problem, which is shared by what you just said a few moments ago and something I wrote about late last week. Like, George McCaskey won't hire a president of football operations, but he's asking the GM to be that guy. So we're on the same page with that. A lot of other organizations, you hire the GM, your job is to put together a roster. Like, that's your primary focus. Come in here, scout, put the best 53 players on the active roster, and then develop depth beyond that. In Chicago, whether people want to give Ryan Pace credit or not, that building that they doubled in size, Ryan Pace's name, whether it won't physically ever be on it, he's behind that great facility that they built. Because they needed somebody who knew about football to say, hey, we need a virtual reality room, or hey, we need this in our recovery rooms, and all the types of stuff that they put in there that, no offense to George McCaskey and Ted Phillips, they just could not possibly know that they need. And that's just going to continue going on here in Chicago. So yes, if you are hiring a guy who's never even been a GM, you're hiring a director of college scouting, for example, Morocco Brown from Indianapolis, who I continue to hear great things about. I feel like he's a good candidate. But we don't know because he's right now in charge of the draft.
Right.
He's not in charge of a whole football operation in Chicago or anywhere else. And so, yes, to answer your question, at some point you are kind of just guessing.
The only thing, as we're talking to Adam Hogue, Bears insider from NBC Sports Chicago, the only thing that I didn't think was covered in that press conference that was went a lot of weird directions, so a lot was covered, was, and we all know what he would have said, I think, but are the Bears prepared to pay top of the market money to these hires? Because when I saw Mel Tucker get his $95 million contract, to me that changed everything in coaching. Every NFL coach now should make more than $10 million a year if the Michigan State football coach makes $9.5 million. And if you want to call your top football person the GM or the president or the czar or the ambassador, I don't really care because it's just a title on a business card. As long as you are willing to pay that person as if they are the president of some other fill-in-the-blank organization. So, but if he's not, if he's only willing to pay GM prices, then he's only going to be able to get pro-scouting type candidates or people who have been fired for other jobs. Do you have a sense of how competitive within the marketplace they are able and willing to be for these positions that they can spend anything they want on them? They are not limited by a salary cap.
Yeah, it's a pretty good question, and I agree. It's something that did not get addressed in that press conference. Would have been curious to know what the answer would have been. Or
I'm sure he would have said something perfunctory, right? Like, we are, of course, compared to be competitive, and money will not be a factor. But don't you agree, like, a president title is different than a GM title, and hiring a coordinator who's never been a head coach is different than luring a guy who might have three or four different offers?
Yeah, so two reactions to this. One is I would hope at this point with how desperate they have to be as an organization to get this thing turned around that they would be willing to pay that. I mean, if you're not at this point, then that just speaks to the problems in the organization.
But that's possible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's possible. I am answering this question admitting I do not know the answer to how much they're willing to pay because it's still the Bears. You know, I felt like they, without knowing the exact, you know, specifics of the contracts, like I definitely feel like Matt Nagy was paid well enough for his services. And there was some competition for Matt Nagy 4 years ago with the Colts, so I think that they had to pay that. One thing I want to say, though, on comparing it to college jobs, because this is something I've actually talked to some coaches about. You know, to me, I find the markets, they're two different markets, but they still work hand in hand because you might have crossover. It is fascinating to me. It's becoming harder to be a college coach on a day-to-day basis with all the stuff that they have to deal with. So I think there's a reason why you're starting to see many college coaches get paid more than some NFL coaches. It's certainly a lot. You'd think like, oh, the NFL, it's bigger than college. You should make more. But the recruiting and now all these, you know, deals that players can sign and kind of dealing with all that, it's become perhaps not as desirable of a job. And so, because that's ultimately what markets come down to, is how badly people want a job or how much you have to pay them to want that job. And so I think that right now there is sort of this shift towards maybe you can get away with paying some NFL coaches less than some of these top college jobs.
I agree with you, but a way to get the best and the brightest, like what do you think Matt Nagy made? $5 million a year?
Yeah, I think it was somewhere around there, yes.
Okay, that's what I had heard too.
Yeah.
If you offered Jim Harbaugh 8 years, $80 million, he's at least answering the phone. Like, John Gruden got 10 years, $100 million, and the Raiders did it because they wanted instant credibility, instant culture, and to sell the fan base on excitement of moving to Vegas and a new stadium. The Bears have the exact same thing happening. It's just Arlington Heights. And I guess I would love to know that they're willing to pay a coach. And I obviously it crashed and burned with John Gruden, but at the time, that hire was like, oh my God, they did it for a reason, and it was instant credibility for an organization that had been in no man's land for a better part of a decade. Like, I'd love to know if the McCaskies are prepared to play in that deep end of the pool.
And let me say this too, they should be. It goes back to how we started this conversation. The head coach position is so important. If we're paying quarterbacks $30 million a year and Khalil Mack's cap hit coming up this year is 30 or 31 or whatever it is, it's somewhere around there, your head coach should make at least $10 million.
That's exactly. Exactly. And then, listen, I like Nathaniel Hackett. I'm intrigued by Brian Daboll. Like, we can all talk ourselves into any of these candidates that are out there, but if the Bears coach, they could pay $20 million if they wanted to. If the Bears coach paid $15 million a year, they could get Jim Harbaugh. They could maybe get Josh McDaniels. They could maybe get a different coach who's currently with an NFL team or, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, you could do, the talent pool would be different if it was completely known within the industry that the Bears are willing to overpay for the top of the profession.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And it doesn't count against the cap. So, you know, the idea that you're paying Andy Dalton $10 million a year,
right.
but you're not willing to go there when it hurts your cap, but you're not willing to go there with the, like, whatever Bill Belichick's made over the last, you know, three decades in football, beyond that, like, it's not enough. Because for the amount of effect he has, because we always picture this in terms of like salary cap space and the impact of how much you're spending on this position and the impact it has on wins and losses. Like, your head coach is just that impactful, either positively or negatively. So that, I guess, would be the downside of it. Are the Bears willing to take a risk on a coach? So you brought up Harbaugh, hypothetically, at 8 years, $80 million. Well, do they trust themselves enough to make the right hire this time? Because if you give a coach 8 years, regardless of what the dollar amount is, the longevity of the contract, what if you're there in 3 years going, oh no, we got to fire this guy again? Because that's not a place you want to be either.
Well, no, you don't. But again, it doesn't count against the cap. And I know I'm spending other people's money, but the contract's guaranteed and you pay it and it sucks and you go away and your franchise is still worth $5 billion. Like, and I know that's very easy for me to say and you to hear, and it's much tougher for them to actually write that check. But I just, that to me feels like where the Bears are as an organization. They have to get this right. And if they hire Brian Daboll, they might get it right, but it's a risk inherently because he's never done it before. And I feel like if you were willing to play in that deep end of the pool, you could maybe mitigate some of that risk by getting a more known commodity. Do you make anything significant of the news that Ed Dodds has withdrawn his name from consideration?
I don't. And here's a few reasons why. One is, let's remember that Justin Fields was drafted 11th overall. He wasn't drafted first. He was the fourth quarterback taken. As much as everyone, I think, in Chicago is optimistic about Justin Fields, you have 9 GM candidates coming through, giving their opinions. It is not necessarily unanimous on Justin Fields. So, and I don't necessarily know this to be the case with Ed Dodds, but you just got to remember that there's probably some candidates that might not love the quarterback as much as everyone else does. And they might not love the fact the Bears don't have a first-round pick. So if a guy happens to be the number two to Chris Ballard and knows he'll probably have more opportunities here in the coming years, he can be picky. So I don't think it's the end of the world. The other reason why I'm not overreacting to it goes back to some of my own reporting from a few weeks ago on Morocco Brown. Really right away when Ryan Pace was fired, Morocco Brown has always, the way it's been communicated to me, been the more likely candidate between those two candidates from Indianapolis. So he is technically below Ed Dodds in Indianapolis, but as soon as I made a phone call to somebody with the with Indianapolis when I first heard Rocco Brown's name, it was because I said, well, what about Ed Dodds? And it was like, Rocco Brown's going to be the better general manager. And he has the connections to Chicago. And so he's the more likely of the two candidates. So at this point, not overreacting to a guy dropping out, especially because I didn't think he was necessarily one of the top candidates anyway.
Good stuff. Listen to his podcast, Hogan Johns. Read his stuff, NBCSportsChicago.com. Appreciate you making yourself available for us today, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Danny. Get better.
Thanks, man. It's Adam Hoge, NBC Sports Chicago. Gary Meyer, Radio Hall of Famer, to discuss Les Grobstein coming up at 4 o'clock. Our own Hub Arkish with an interesting anecdote that we will react to next on The Score.
One source, it's not Jim. I've already said I've had some contact with Jim. I didn't ask him, and he didn't tell me. But one other source, who's usually pretty good, told me that there was a brief phone conversation. I'm not going to say between Jim and somebody in the organization, which I think may have just been saying hi, may have been trying to read the tea leaves without asking the questions. I don't know. I can't confirm that for certain, but it's a pretty good source. I think that there was a phone call, and I think where that phone call ended is Jim's got decisions to make, and again, he hasn't made them.
Chicago, our very own Hub Arkish, saying that. And the world works in mysterious ways, because there's this guy on Twitter who's got the Twitter handle at Shy Sport Updates. His name's Daniel Greenberg. And he's got a lot of followers. But he is...
And it pisses me off, by the way, that this Daniel Greenberg just takes Chicago Tribune headlines and gets hundreds of retweets.
Right. And he's an aggregator. He's basically the Pro Football Talk of the Chicago sports media. Like, he does a good job of pulling quotes and listening to a lot of stuff and putting it in headlines and all of that. And so he sends out a tweet. The Chicago Bears have had a brief phone conversation with Jim Harbaugh via Hub Arkish on NBC Sports Chicago The Rush. And I hadn't heard the clip until just now. To me, that is a reasonable tweet, right? Is that is what Hub said, is it not? And Hub said, because he's our guy, but he's not a fan of what's happening on Twitter, understandably so. He retweets it and says, when does this crap stop? Listen to what I said. It was a rumor that there was a call about nothing specific between who, I wasn't sure, and clearly not news. There is no reason to believe right now there's anything going on with the Bears and Harbaugh. But can we hear Hub again? Let's hear what Hub said again on The Rush. Because I hear this and I think, oh, well, at least they're talking.
One second. You know how slow Tanny is.
No, my bad.
One of the slowest producers we have here.
My bad.
One source. It's not Jim. I've already said I've had some contact with Jim. I didn't ask him and he didn't tell me. But one other source who's usually pretty good told me that there was a brief phone conversation. I'm not going to say between Jim and somebody in the organization, which I think may have just been saying hi, may have been trying to read the tea leaves without asking the questions. I don't know. I can't confirm that for certain, but it's a pretty good source. I think that there was a phone call, and I think where that phone call ended is Jim's got decisions to make, and again, he hasn't made them.
Jim Harbaugh knows Hub Arkish. Jim Harbaugh has talked, Hub knows Jim Harbaugh. He says that there was a phone conversation, according to another source, not Harbaugh. And he said, I think where that phone call ends is Jim's got some decisions to make. Man, that's interesting. Like, this town wants Jim Harbaugh. Don't you think? I feel like that is the single hire that would be the most universally praised. Because Brian Flores, they'll be like, three offensive coordinators in 3 years, couldn't figure it out with Tua, people can't get along with him, what's his plan on offense? Brian Daboll, he's never been a head coach. Byron Leftwich, never been a head coach. Leslie Frazier, Todd Bowles, retreads, they already failed as head coaches. Uninspiring, not sexy. Like, the hole that you can poke in Jim Harbaugh's resume is stuff that he did at Michigan, not stuff that he did in the NFL. So, I just think people are holding on to that, and I get it. I am too. Like, it would be the most exciting hire, from the Bears connection to the personality to the the cachet of it, the sexiness of it, like the how did you get him away from the alma mater, and he's turning his back on that quarterback recruit, and he's putting a kid into the draft with the number one pick, and the Michigan coach coaching the Ohio State quarterback for the Bears. Like, it would be an unbelievable story. But I feel like when Wani's like, maybe they'll do a midnight Zoom, we were like, oh God, maybe they're doing a midnight Zoom. What does Dave know? Dave doesn't say stuff like that. So it's silly season. It's crazy season. But I feel like Hub's saying that there was a phone call, that's reportable. That's news. Do you guys disagree? That excites you, right? You guys want Jim Harbaugh here. I'm like, oh, good, they're talking. That makes me think that there might be something there. I don't feel like that's an unreasonable stance, even if I do resent how many followers Daniel Greenberg has aggregating everyone else's news.
Hey, did you just ask Tanny and I if we liked that and then kept talking for another 45 seconds?
I wasn't sure if you guys were ready to go. I thought I needed, you know, time for the clip.
I can't believe Connor put the GIF out there.
Yeah, I mean, after
Connor,
we told him not to.
Connor, we asked you not to.
God.
Of the light falling and me looking scared.
Oh, yeah. My God, Connor. That was such a bad guy move, dude.
Can you guys turn on your camera so I can see you?
Our camera's on.
Not for me, it isn't.
Maybe because your ring light broke.
Problems on your end, man.
Yeah, problem on your end.
Really?
John Kerry, problem on your end. Very inside.
So inside, I don't even.
Our camera's on. Yeah, we're looking at us. And let me tell you, Danny, it's a sight to see.
All right, well, so that's why I kept talking, because I was like, oh, maybe Shane's not at the microphone right now.
No, we're right here.
I can't see you. Oh, okay.
I just did a little rap session with Mitch during the break, came back in enough time to contribute here to the show.
How was the rap session?
It was good. He got a haircut. Mitch looking fresh as hell with a new haircut.
Really?
Got some added volume. Looks like he had a blowout.
Oh, fancy.
Mitch loves his mid-afternoon haircuts. Spot down in the
No, don't blow it up.
I'm sorry, man. I won't.
Too much.
He's got like
the
secret
there.
Barber. underground secret barber that he won't tell anybody about.
Just the one in the Pedway?
Damn it.
That's all right. They don't know which Pedway. It's okay. There's a lot of Pedways in the city.
Yeah, I like Jim Harbaugh. I think we went pretty hard on that last week. I would love to have the attitude of Jim Harbaugh here.
Who's doing the drafting? Who's drafting the players? That's all I care about.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. I just figured you'd be excited.
Yeah, no, super pumped about that. And no, I am a big supporter of Hub. I feel like sometimes I'm the only one here that's a big supporter of Hub. But I think that's what Hub said.
I adore Hub. When Danny, you know, wrongly said yesterday that Hub should pull his microphone closer, which was inaccurate.
That was wrong, by the way, Danny.
I told Hub he was
fine. Mike. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, his mic was fine. It must be the $7 Apple earbuds you're using.
I might be losing my hearing. Okay, I'm sorry. God, I can't get a win. I was wrong. I know I couldn't hear what he was saying.
No, I get it. He was a little quieter yesterday. But
Speaks was quiet too, right? Or is that me?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, yeah, no, we're not going there.
Okay, Speaks quiet too. All right. I just wanted to find something that you guys would side with me on. Yeah. Gary Meyer, Radio Hall of Famer, remembers the Grobber next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.